Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who trust in Him. Nahum 1:7. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and good judgment than silver. Proverbs 16:16. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Romans chapter 5, verse 4, and Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Two verses, Romans 5:4 and Romans 5:5. You'll see these two verses on the back of your bulletin. You see them on the screen before you this morning. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice in the fact that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. We have the assurance today again that everything we have is a gift from your grace. And most of all, we're thankful for positional sanctification, that we are in Christ and that we are the recipients of being born into your magnificent family. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heaven is our eternal home. We're thankful that you've given us some life, that you've given us some time on the earth. We pray that while we're here, that we will magnify the name of our Lord and help others to come to know Him and to love Him. We pray that you'll bless today those whose hearts are heavy and bereaved, that you'll comfort and strengthen. For those who have various problems and difficulties, trials and tests, we pray for them. And those who have illness, we pray for them. We pray that you'll guide us in these moments, that we may focus our minds upon these magnificent, wonderful verses, that we'll be able to learn and grow and advance. And we thank you for all of your grace and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we begin our reading in Romans 5, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to back up in Romans chapter 4. And we're going to begin our reading with Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. And if you'll just look at this passage, you'll see how fantastic it is in relationship to the subject about which we are dealing. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, as it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which it does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 4, and without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, not as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Romans 4:22. Therefore also it was reckoned. The word reckoned there is imputed. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, did you notice how I did that? I want you to understand that the scripture divisions and chapters and verses was not in the original. And so that's the reason why I read that so rapidly, so you could see that I wasn't changing chapters. Do you see what happened in Abraham's case? It's amazing to see what the Lord did. As we all realize that the scripture says he was good as dead since he was about 100 years old. And also the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Verse 20 of chapter 4. But grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured, persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. I'm letting you have time to think about this because I realize that in the previous chapter I did go rapidly at the end. I'm just a little bit like Tom Jackson and his driving. When he gets close to the end, he speeds up. And that's what I do when I'm preaching. When I find myself getting close to the end, I speed up because I want to get the information in. And so it says, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured, persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Now look at verse 22. Therefore also it was reckoned, imputed to him as righteousness. Not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who was delivered up because of our transgressions and was bruised and was raised because of our justifications. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. On the screen you see Romans 5:4. And patience, proof. And then you notice I put in parentheses experience. The latter part of 5:4, and proof, hope. And again, I put the word experience. What I've discovered is, and you have already seen this, that in the original language, the beautiful word for patience is H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, hupomone. A beautiful, magnificent word. Let me see if I can just break it down for you for a few moments. The latter part of the word, mone, actually comes from the word which means to remain. And hupo is a prefix or a preposition which means under. And so it means to remain under. Unique word indeed, remain under. Actually, what we've already emphasized, and I gave it to you in the first session, that this is emphasis upon the fact that God wants us to understand our standing and be aware that He has a purpose and a plan for us, and that we are not to swerve or not to go aside or not to move outside of God's plan. We're not to swerve. We're to remain constant. That's what the word means. So it says, patience, proof, and proof, hope. Let's go to verse 5. And hope does not put to shame. We're going to look at this more in detail Wednesday night. Because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of us through the Holy Spirit given to us. Sometimes when the minister desires to get a message over, he's hesitant to repeat, to get into recapitulation for fear that some might say, well, I've heard that before. I understand. Why doesn't he move on to something else? At the same time, there's always a danger of going like I did in the first service and getting toward the end and realizing that I'm running toward the end of the time, but I'm not toward the end of the content. And so I speed up. And when I do that, I realize that what happens is that you're not even able to take the notes. And so you miss so much. And you treat me nice here because you don't say anything. And that's where it should be. But when you're out there listening to me on the internet, I understand what you say. Shut up, preacher. And you push the button and stop me. And that's okay. Because when I rehear myself, I have to do that sometimes. So I'm going to recapitulate for fear that some of you may say, I've heard that before. But for some, you may say, I'm glad he's doing that. Life to the soul. Adam's sin to the sinful nature. Life is so fantastic. It's because you and I are alive that we were able to get up this morning, get dressed, and get into this auditorium. Now, for some, it was more difficult than others. I realize that. Some of you jumped out of bed, got dressed quickly. Others of you moved more slowly. I'm aware of that. But no matter what the particular circumstances are, God gave you life and you had the ability to get up this morning. You're able to breathe. You're able to enjoy life. And so life is God-given. And where that life is life is in your soul. And what we must realize is that unsaved people have souls and saved people have souls. We have to understand this. If we can comprehend the fact that life is in every individual, so life has been imputed, put into every individual. And that's the reason why we're alive. Life in the soul. It is your soul that gives you and me the ability to comprehend things in the realm of the physical. And as born again believers, we have the Spirit which gives us the ability to comprehend spiritual things. The unsaved person doesn't have that. The unsaved person is body and soul, but not body, soul, and spirit. And some of you are saying, okay, preacher, I've heard that thousands of times. I know that. But you and I must be aware of the fact that when we're dealing with unsaved people, we must comprehend the fact that they are body and soul and not body, soul, and spirit. If we comprehend that, then we will be able to understand what their need is. Their need is not to join the church. Their need is not to turn over a new leaf. Their need is not to observe some ritual. Their need is Jesus, which is the object of faith. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't say believe. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So the object of faith is Christ. A person who is dichotomous, body and soul, needs to become trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. That's the reason why life goes to the soul. But also at that same time, Adam's original sin is imputed to the old sinful nature. Every person is born physically alive and spiritually dead. Now, on Wednesday night, I have a long list of information to give you in relationship to understanding that facet. So I don't want you to miss the fact that we are sinners and why we're sinners and all of that. But here we are with a soul. Understanding that the soul has Adam's original sin and the old sinful nature. And that spells a potential, which we call potential number one. The gospel is to be presented. Now, you and I are aware of the fact that there are different concepts and ideas in relationship to the gospel. Some people desire the gospel. Some people are cold and indifferent toward the gospel. But everyone who is unsaved needs the gospel. And the gospel is good news. And the good news is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. If a person realizes that, they understand that this is hope. This gives them hope. Hope is not a hope so, it's a confident expectation. It's confident anticipation. That's the true meaning of the word hope. And so when the gospel is received, hope one becomes a reality. And when hope one becomes a reality, the person has salvation. Now, have I done that simply enough for all of us just to appreciate it? All right. When a person is saved, when a saved person has the reality of hope, they need to be told not to worry about their feelings, not to even be concerned about their sins. Now, I know that sounds rather strange, because we're not encouraging anyone to sin. I don't think anyone really needs much encouragement along that line. I don't think you really need much encouragement about sinning. You sin mentally, you sin verbally, you sin bodily. Did you notice I said you? Someone said, when you point the finger, when the preacher points the finger, one finger out here, three of them are turned back toward himself. So I just want you to understand where we stand. In other words, what happens here is that a person who believes doesn't then need to be depending upon how they feel, how their disappointment to themselves and to God, all these things. They must realize that salvation is a gift to be received, and God doesn't sponsor any flops. God does a good job. That's known as eternal security. There's a lot in the scripture about that. Notice, if you will, number two. After salvation, a new hope is in view. It's what we call hope two. Now, what we have to understand is, when we get into hope two, we have to comprehend some things about imputations. Now, since I went so fast in the previous session, I'm not going to do that to you this time. I'm going to go slowly enough to help you see that on the screen we have imputation one and two, which equals a potential two. And then there's a communication of God's Word. And that equals a second hope. And that hope becomes a reality in the Christian life. We're not talking now about advanced Christian life. We're talking about the fact that we are on the earth specifically for a period of time. And God wants us to advance so that we will reach maturity while we're here on the earth. It's called the Christian life. If you'll notice, please, that the emphasis is that the only way that a Christian life can be understood and we can understand our standing is that there has to be reception to the Word of God. We call that biblical truths. Now that's simple enough. And yet it's very profound because it says that you and I have to have perception, a hunger for the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, hope 2 and hope 3 are fulfilled by imputations. Now, you already have a background on the word imputation and what it means because we went through that. But let's look at it. Hope 2, and when we get into a discussion on hope 3, these are fulfilled by imputations. In other words, the hope of blessing is replaced by the reality of blessing, which simply means that while we're on the earth, advancing as a Christian life, we've been promised that we'll be blessed, and as we reach various stages of Christian advance, the blessings will become a reality. So the hope of the blessings will become a reality. And we'll begin to see and understand and rejoice over the fact that God is in charge. And every morning when we wake up, we anticipate what God's going to do for us today. And we are aware of the fact that He's not only concerned about the big things of life, He's concerned about all the little things of life. If we could ever come to the conclusion of understanding where we stand. God, if God can take that little bird, Arctic sea bird, with that little egg laid, and place them with many other females, and they place their eggs down there. And then one bird moves the egg away, and this bird comes back and is able to detect her own egg and bring it back to where the other eggs are. Who do you think put that kind of thinking in that little thing's mind? Now, I don't know what kind of mind they have, but I do know that God is telling us something. That if He can do all of that, He does so many things, what do you think He's doing for you and me? Do you think He has any desire for us to appreciate each day and understand that He has direction for us for that particular day? Is He concerned about the smaller facets of life as well as the huge facets of life? When we understand our standing, and we understand how great God is, and we comprehend how smart He is. It's just wonderful to be able to know how smart God is. Did you realize that? I mean, let's not limit Him, because He knows everything. And if He knows everything, He knows far more about us than we know about ourselves. He knows how to put things together. And I'm going to slip up on you right now, because some of you haven't seen this yet. I'm going to slip up on you right now. I'm going to let you see something. I have it here. I wasn't going to do this because I felt like that you weren't ready for it. Uh-oh! Everything I'm talking about is Romans 8:28. There it is. I've described this. I'm describing it in a different fashion than I've done in past years. But there it is. Some of you are saying, that looks like a formula. That looks like theorems, or what do you call it? Equations. And I said goodbye to the professor years ago on that. I don't want anything to know about it. There's the X, Y, Z radicals on the screen. You don't need to look at that now. Those of you who come on Wednesday night get to see it, because you get to see the conclusion of this whole thing. Hope 2, hope 3 are fulfilled by imputations. The hope of blessing is replaced by the reality of blessing. This happens at salvation and at maturity. What you and I should be doing now is anticipating. Blessings are anticipated through hope and realized by imputation. Do you realize the difference between judicial and real imputations? You got that in your thinking? Do you realize that we don't deserve salvation? And do you realize that Jesus Christ didn't deserve our sin? That's a judicial imputation. All these others are real imputations. The blessings are anticipated through hope and realized by imputation. Two hopes are realized in time. If we don't do anything else this morning other than this, let's talk about it. Two hopes are realized in time. How much more time do you have on the earth? How much more time do I have? I don't know. I know that I'm older than I've been in the past. But I also know that you're older than you've been in the past. I realize that two hopes are realized in time. One of those is salvation. I know that. And the other is the ability for maturity. You and I have the ability to know without doubt we're saved by grace. You and I have the ability to advance. We choose to do it, or maybe we don't choose to do it. But there's coming a day when there's going to be hope 3. And hope 3 is fulfilled in eternity. That's the reason why we have verse 5. This hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of us by means of the Holy Spirit. Recapitulate life to the soul. Adam's original sin to the old sin nature. Are we understanding this? I'm trying to let you see that it's important for us to know that we have an opportunity to appreciate our standing. Should I do this? A few minutes. I'm not going to go all the way through this, but I want you to see the start for Wednesday night. Life to the soul, we understand that. Adam's sin to the sinful nature, we understand that. But what about the imputation of sin? Adam's disobedience is charged to our account. And what you need to do is to study Romans 5, 12 to 21. We're not there to study it now. Adam's disobedience is charged to our account. And it's described for us in Romans 12, 5, 12 to 21. The second thing is Adam's sin as the federal head of the human race. God considers everyone as a sinner. These are very important points, and we have to analyze them in detail. Adam's disobedience is charged to our account. Some of you are saying, well, I wasn't there, and I didn't do it. Had you been there, you would have done worse. So just accept the fact that we're sinners. Adam's disobedience is charged to our account, Romans 5, 12 to 21. Study that carefully. Adam sinned as the federal head of the human race. So God considers all of us sinners. Number three, we are possessed with Adam's nature. Romans 5, 12 to 14. We all are possessed with Adam's nature. Number four, the sentence of death is imposed then on everyone. Romans 6, 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The sentence of death is imposed on everyone. Number five, the effect of Adam's fall is universal. No one is excluded. So the effect of Adam's fall is universal. Number six, we are fallen sons and daughters of old Adam. I thought I could put a little humor in there, but it didn't get much response. Old Adam. We're all fallen sons and daughters of old Adam. Number seven, we do not sin because sin. We do not become sinful by sinning. We sin because we are sinful by nature. In other words, you didn't sin to become a sinner. You were born physically alive, spiritually dead, a sinner. We do not become sinful by sinning. We sin because we are recipients of a sinful nature. Am I going too fast? I promise I wouldn't. Is it still raining outside? Y'all pray for rain because I'm not through yet. Number eight, Adam's disobedience was placed on the account of every member of the human race. Adam's disobedience was placed on the account of every member of the human race. Just as Christ's obedience to the Father on the cross is placed on the account of every born-again believer. You talk about something fantastic and wonderful and great. In other words, this is what we call imputed righteousness. Judicial, undeserved to each believing person. If we could just get this in our minds, the difference between judicial and real imputations. We don't deserve it. Christ didn't deserve our disobedience, and we don't deserve His obedience to the Father. But we have accepted that, and He's changed us. Adam's disobedience was placed on the account of every member of the human race, just as Christ's obedience to the Father on the cross is placed on the account of every born-again believer. That's known as imputed righteousness to each believing person. Regeneration. Imputed righteousness. 2 points more. The guilt and penalty of Adam's sin was directly imputed to his descendants, so that all give way to death. The guilt and penalty of Adam's sin was directly imputed to his descendants, so that all give way to death. That's in these verses, plus many others. Romans 5:15, Romans 5:18, Romans 5:19, so forth. And number nine, Adam's original act of disobedience has been charged to all of us. And that's a real imputation. You can see that we have a lot to do on Wednesday night. We'll have fun doing it. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful for imputed righteousness. We do not deserve this at all. We are not the recipients of your righteousness because of anything we've done, other than we've accepted that magnificent gift, knowing that salvation is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith alone in Christ alone. And we are thankful, we are so thankful that we have that assurance today that Jesus is our Savior, heaven's our home, and that life is very brief and we're going to be absent from this body one of these days and we're going to be with our Savior. Not because we deserve it, but because of the fact that He's given us so much in grace. We pray that there will be those who will trust You even now. And we thank You for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.